When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody. And everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it was a week ago when one horrible tragedy struck in Thousand Oaks outside of Westlake High School. A man ran down several teens who were gathered outside, caused severe damage, and did kill a 15-year-old teen, Wesley Welling, who was hanging out there in front of the school with some of his friends. Others who were injured were severely injured and still remain in hospital treatment care. We have a chance now to talk to Wesley's father, Craig Welling, about his son and find out more about the young man.
Craig, welcome to the John and Ken Show.
Thank you, John and Ken. It's an honor and a privilege to be on your show. Thank you. I've been listening from day one.
Thank you. And we're really, really sorry about
the tragedy. Our condolences on your son, who, from all we can read, Craig, really beloved for just 15 years old. He certainly had a lot of fans.
Yeah. Because I'm asked a lot, the best thing anybody can do for our family is to hug a loved one every day. Wesley and I hugged a lot, and I will miss those daily hugs. And a shout out from both grandmas. They also told me to say they miss Wesley's hugs. But the number one priority that I must say is I want to thanks to all the wonderful people for all their prayers and messages. Like they're heartfully heard, deeply felt. For example, I have gone incognito to the memorial events, and I've listened to the silences, and I've listened to the stories, and thanks to you blessed, wonderful people, when we're at our lowest of despair, you are there with your love and your encouragement, loving experiences, and your prayers. They lift my family up where we find a smile among the tears and sorrow. Our local community it also is incredible. Community is important. I've given in times of need and never thought about it. So to do so, but to be on the receiving end I want to say your support of us and the other victims is priceless, beyond measure. And as Wesley liked to say, every act of kindness is a little bit of love we leave behind. Wesley is truly loved because he was loving and fun, and sometimes with bad jokes. But Wesley is a good example of the a man who came up to me and pointed at me and looked there. I pointed at Wesley and said, "Is that your son?" And I said, it depends. And he said, "Well, Wesley rushed ahead to open the door for me and my wife," and that I'd raised a gentleman. More examples. I believe you get two chances at having a childhood, being a child, and second, at being a parent. I received from Wesley things I didn't receive from my dad. Hugs, forehead to forehead, staring in the eyes moments, adventurous moments. Wesley enjoyed giving hugs to loved ones. He would surprise me and throw his arms around me and then look into my eyes and say, "I love you, Dad." He was a very happy kid. And I cosplay Star Trek. And so he picked up cosplay of Jason, Friday the 13th, Halloween, all that stuff. And then he has his assorted cosplay of military outfits. He has Nerf weapons at all of every door and window in the house, which I haven't touched because for the impending zombie apocalypse. Wesley was an old soul. He had the soul of a Klingon warrior with the heart of a loving poet. And I have the best relationship a father could ever have with his son, close beyond compare, with no regrets of any wasted time. I'm so proud of him. And the family pets miss him. The cat goes up on his bed and sits there. I taught him how to pick belts, how to clip your toenails, correct shampoo for his type of hair. Next was to be shaving. That's why when you see me, I haven't shaved. I haven't been able to get to it. And the last 2 days, he asked me, "Dad, can you show me poker? I don't understand." So we went over. At first, he little slowed, and he caught on. And right when I saw the light in his eyes, I did something. He's all, "Wait a minute, that's impossible. You couldn't have won that. How did you win?" And I said, because I knew he understood, I go, "I bluffed him." "Bluff?" "Bluff." And he put his hand, pushed me out of the way. He let me in there. And he went in. He'd say, "Okay." And he'd call me across the room. So whenever my kids say anything, I drop what I'm doing. I go across the room. I check it out. And he goes, "I'm going all in, Dad." Well, he always went all in on life. But this time he didn't realize the deck was stacked against him. A lot of Wesley's gentle nature, he learned from his wonderful sister. Wesley and Hannah were a team. They loved each other, and Wesley looked out for her. I can't express how terrible this is for Wesley's sister, Mother Kelly, and Wesley's little brother. It continues to be a nightmare for all of them, watching Wesley die. Wesley, his brother and sister, they volunteered at a local church to feed the homeless. Wesley was in two plays with me. Both times he played my son in both plays. We almost completed Wesley's YouTube channel after 3 years of building, but I never got to hang the on the air sign. Wesley and Hannah have Dungeons and Dragons characters. Wesley wanted to play the drums, where I would play the bass and vocals, and Hannah would be on the violin, because I used to be in the band years ago, and we'd be called the Setlick Three. Everywhere Wesley was is now like, it's like an emptiness or a darkness. And so I know I'll get through that. So there are like things that we used to do together, because of my big part of my children's lives, that was like ripped. Anyway, it's painful. Wesley was to take over my field management position for ABDG. That's American Baseball Development Group. That's the Mike Sosa's organization. And they were looking forward to working with Wesley. Wesley was an enthusiastic old soul that was passionate, caring, creative, and intelligent, and a bit of a procrastinator, I will say. That's
Well, that's about as beautiful a remembrance as anything.
That's a great tribute, Craig. And I tell you what, as loving as you described him, you must have raised quite a boy. You two must have been great parents, because you don't find 15-year-olds who want to do a lot of hugging, not 15-year-old boys.
Right, and he would do it at school. It wouldn't matter. He was just full of it. He would look for the people, the odd people out, because he knew of my childhood where I was the nerd. I was a total nerd, and I felt left out. He would look for those people and befriend them, and yet he was popular. So he, you know, he tried to play that both sides. And hugs are healing. I just want to also let people go, wow, the hugs you get are just very healing.
Right. And I understand that Sunday night there was like a fundraiser, right? A whole lot of people showed up in the community to tribute.
Yeah, it blew me away. I was in this weird position of I had the kids there and I'm being that pillar of strength and yet trying to be happy with the kids and experiencing. But it all worked out with everybody there and everything. It was in the support. It was wonderful. And my daughter has actually kind of forgot what was going on, and she was actually having a good time because she's got some issues there. She did really well.
How's your wife doing?
And thank everybody there that was there. My wife, she's has hard times. They're all into therapy, and the therapy needs to be. Yeah, I'm not going to get into details, but there was some issues. So, and she is the most. For 10 years. I have never married or fallen in love with any other woman because I found out that I can never love a woman as much as I love Kelly, the mother of my children. I mean, so my time and my money and my devotion has been for my children. So when my, you know, that's why I feel that part of me just ripped out. So that healing process is something I'm trying to learn. But as a Taoist, I can decompartmentalize thoughts. And as a man, you know, if you look up that word, it's a way a tree grows. I'm a horticulturalist. Mm-hmm. So it's a mental way to put your thoughts in the strongest parts and then let them go to the weakest parts. I could describe it, but anyway, yeah.
Well, Craig, is there any place people can go to, remember your son, a tribute, a fundraising site, any kind of a place they can...
No, I want to admit one thing. Kelly was not here, so she couldn't tell you. I can't tell you anything. I have tuned out ever since this happened of everything. In fact, when I went to court, they told me I didn't even know he went on a spree. I was just in shock. You know, the whole thing. I'm learning everything that's going on, so I've been ignorant. And as far as the where to go, I think it's all over the place. If you look it up, there's a GoFundMe. I wish I had that information, but I am.
It's okay, we'll find it.
Yeah, because I'm completely separate from that part. I'm still going to work. I go to work every day, and I rebuild the mound. I did it in my son's name. I got the skin where it comes off from the skin to the grass, go to the outfield, perfectly flat, so no bounce. And I do it for the name of my son, so it keeps me going.
All right, Craig Welling, thank you so much for talking to us. And I, like we said, it was an incredibly wonderful tribute to your son, Wesley. We appreciate hearing from you.
And we're going to get all the information for the GoFundMe. And we'll broadcast it and we'll have it on our website. And again, we're really, really sorry for your loss. But thank you for coming on and telling the whole world about your son. That was really beautiful.
Thank you so much and bless you.
All right. That's Craig Welling, the father of Wesley Welling. And you can see when he talked about his son, the personality probably very similar. Wesley Welling was the 15-year-old teen who was run over with a group of teens outside of Westlake High School in Thousand Oaks a week ago by what turns out to be, we believe, a homeless man who went on a rampage. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, we'll get that information for you to remember Wesley Welling, the 15-year-old boy who was run over with a group of teens up in Thousand Oaks a week ago. We just talked to his father, Craig, and we'll get the information there for people who want to do something special for the family in remembrance of that young man. His father did quite a touching tribute to his son. And if you didn't hear it, well, John, what do you do? You get the podcast after
that's
four.
That's right, on the iHeartRadio app.
John, can I demand?
Let me see here. I think we've got the information.
Oh, okay. We're going to put it up on the website, too.
It just went up on the website. I'm just clicking it now. So the GoFundMe page is entitled In Memory of Wesley Welling. So go to GoFundMe.com and type in the search box, In Memory of Wesley Welling.
All right, pretty easy.
And they'll take you to
spell.
The page, and already $255,000 has been raised.
That's fantastic. All right, now, we know that the suspect in that case is supposedly unhoused. Anyway, we mentioned yesterday that up in Marin County, there was a two-mile-long section of a road near the 101, which is lined with people living in RVs. And when we talked about that story, I had tried to remember, and now I have it in front of me, the massive encampment at Harbor Gateway. They believe that there are 500 RVs in this area. It's an unincorporated area of LA County, of course, leading to Gardena and Torrance. More than 500 RVs have been there lining the streets. We bring you that because we have Fox 11 reporter Haley Winslow giving the latest on one of the big problems with having that many RVs packed in together, what people do. Let's listen to this report.
Here's kind of a strange dichotomy for you. So the top part of the 105-110 interchange is the opening, very famous scene from La La Land. Just underneath it, burnt out grass, one of 20 homeless fires in the last 4 days.
There's been 20 fires in this general vicinity of the 105-110 area since last Thursday.
Four or more homeless fires a day, all within 1 mile of this 105-110 interchange. Community advocate David Matthews says they're all arson, and most often in the middle of the night.
I think the biggest one was we had a fire at 5:30 in the morning. We were out there at 5:45, so we saved the RV from going up. We sat out there for an hour and left, and then within the time we left, within 1 hour, the RV was back in flames. Someone had set it up on fire with gasoline.
Is that the one that the woman had third-degree burns?
No, that was a different one. The woman with the third-degree burns, it's an unfortunate situation, and the dog actually died that was inside the vehicle. So there's a shrine there now to it.
The dog was living in the homeless RV and didn't make it out. First responders rushed the dog's owner to the hospital burn unit. The homeless fires are in campers, tents, grassy encampments, and along the railroad tracks.
One of the biggest challenges we have in the Gateway is we have all these overlapping jurisdictions. It actually happened on state property. So now you have to get Caltrans and CHP involved to let them know that, hey, you had a fire. And then it was the city fire department that responded.
So in a way, this is actually kind of a perfect place for a homeless person to live.
It's the perfect black hole.
Before these most recent 20 fires, Matthews counted about one homeless fire a week in Harbor Gateway and unincorporated LA County. The 6-square-mile area, now known as the largest homeless RV encampment in the county, is home to about 550 raggedy RVs, many accompanied with crime, drugs, weapons, and human waste.
Well, maybe we wouldn't dump illegally if instead of sending bulldozers and sanitation workers down the street, they could put dumpsters on every block or do something different to help us to dispose of our trash properly. We need somewhere to put it. There's other things, resources and things that they could offer us.
Even with homeless outreach every couple weeks, cleanups, and a master county plan now in place, neighbors and business owners don't have a lot of faith in what they call the growing Wild Wild West calming anytime soon.
I think as a community, we just need more help.
They need more community members to stand up and report these issues, they say. And they also need, of course, the community leaders, the county officials, to make the plan that they have in place come to fruition. I just got off the phone with LAPD, and they're looking into this, as well as two similar arson sprees in Olympic and in the Valley over the last few days. Very similar situation. They don't yet know if it's the same person.
That's from Haley Winslow, Fox 11. They did a story on this a couple of months ago, and there were 180 fires in this area in 2022. She was reporting on the latest raft of fires that started a month ago.
The county supervisor for this area is Janice Hahn. So it's hopeless.
I have it as Holly Mitchell. Is it both of them?
Is it Holly Mitchell?
This Fox 11 story says maybe there's overlap. Holly Mitchell represents most of the affected area and put out a statement that once again, we have outreach teams and blah, 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 blah. This story I'm reading is from a couple of months ago. But
is it called Harbor Gateway?
Yeah, Harbor Gateway is a big area there. What that story talked about was an area where the 110 and the 105 freeways come together, which I didn't know was considered Harbor Gateway, but she says it's a 6-square-mile area near the Harbor Gateway area of Los Angeles.
Obviously, it's a no man's land, and I hate it when I hear these news stories, because I had to deal with this with the encampment on San Vicente Boulevard. You get these stupid jurisdictional issues.
Oh, of course. Well, that's how you kick the can.
Right. And that's all. All these idiot, do-nothing, loser politicians like Janice Hahn and Holly Mitchell and Karen Bassetti, they love jurisdictional problems because they can build a shield to protect them all from any responsibility by saying it's some other entity's problem. Oh, well, that's Caltrans. Oh, that's the county. Well, that's the city. You got to talk to the councilman. No, you got to talk to the supervisor. No, it's a state. And they go around and around. And in about 5 minutes, you could get somebody from each jurisdiction, each department to sit down. And this isn't very hard, is you tow these freaking RVs of there.
This is going to be the lingering problem.
That is not a legitimate way to live. And that lady going, oh, we need services. We need someplace to put our... No, you need to go get a job so you're not living in our...
Responsibility for your life, right?
I don't have to give you maid services, valet services, and clean up your garbage because you don't bother to go to work and you're living in a pigsty of an RV with some crazy psycho setting 20 fires in a week.
All right, when we come back,
jeez,
a strange development in the big story from last year into this year, and that was the murders of the Idaho college students in their off-campus house, the University of Idaho. We're going to be talking to Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI. The weird development is that one of the surviving roommates who was in the house that night, and I believe she may have encountered the man accused of these horrible crimes, Brian Koberger, inside the house in the dark. It seems like she wants nothing to do with the case. She is asking not to have to appear at the suspect's hearing. Weird. We'll see what we can learn. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 till 4. After 4 o'clock, the podcast, John and Ken on Demand on the iHeart app. And you can catch up on whatever you missed.
Yeah, and the Moist Line is coming back around in 3 days, Friday. So we're collecting those messages using the iHeartRadio app. Find your way to the microphone icon. Leave us a voice message that way. Or call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, there's a story we haven't returned to for quite some time because the last time we talked about it, we knew that most things involving court appearances and such was being kicked to June. And that is the stabbing deaths of the four University of Idaho students that occurred last November. The man that was eventually arrested for these murders is a guy by the name of Brian Koberger. And we're back in the news today because of one of the surviving roommates. There was more than just the three girls that lived in that house. There was a couple of other women that lived there as well. And obviously, they may be key in making the case for or against Brian Koberger. But one of them apparently does not want to appear at the hearings coming up for Koberger. We'll see if we can find out more from Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI.
How do you say her name? Bethany Funk or Funky?
Either one, I don't know. Yeah. I think it may be Funk. But the issue for her is that these are his attorneys wanting her to appear to testify for him, to try to exonerate him. And her attorneys are saying no, that first of all, they don't believe that Idaho has the legal authority to order somebody who's in Nevada, she lives in Nevada, to go to Idaho for a preliminary hearing, and that she doesn't have anything to say. That they say that she's told police what she saw, a guy with bushy eyebrows coming out of the murder area of the home, mask on, and then went out the sliding glass door, that but they don't think there's anything there. So what his attorneys appear to be doing, that they claim that she's got some testimony, some information that would exonerate him going into the preliminary hearing, that hearing where the court has to decide, is there enough evidence to move on with a trial? Defense attorneys are going to try to say there is not. Look, they got the wrong guy, despite the DNA evidence that was on the sheath of that knife that was at the murder scene, his DNA, his car driving around the murder scene on surveillance video, his phone coming and going around that time, being turned off right around the murder scene, but then popping right back on. But his attorneys claim she knows something. And then we talked to Shauna Lloyd, the Cochran firm, not involved in this, but she says, here's what it means.
The defense believes that she has information that would directly contradict his being the person who they believe at the scene of the crime.
So his attorneys are claiming she is a material witness, could provide the info that would clear him and that would make it clear that he didn't do it. She was on the first floor, awake, told police that she heard crying, and then looked out and saw the guy with the bushy eyebrows walking down the hallway. But a lot we don't know. There is a gag order in place.
Make it sound like she's an alibi.
Is this a fake story the defense is putting out to try to muddy up the jury?
It's a good question. I don't know. They seem very serious in their filing that they want her on the witness stand.
They have to pretend to be.
Her attorney is going, well, no, that's not where she needs to be at a prelim. They don't want it to be a circus and a mini trial, even though that's what a preliminary hearing kind of is. The gag order today, about an hour and a half ago, the Supreme Court in Idaho ruled against 30 members of the media wanting that gag order lifted. And the Supreme Court said no of the state, that this is such a high-profile case, they don't want to ruin the case, that they don't want anybody giving details. So we still don't know a lot about what else she has said and what they want.
In order to get her subpoenaed and potentially extradited from Nevada to Idaho, wouldn't the defense have to make the case to the judge that she had relevant testimony that would exonerate Koberger, and they would have to explain in advance what that is?
Well, they would at least need to make the claim that they've got something, even I don't know under Idaho law how much they would have to lay out. But the argument against it is that she is going, her attorneys are going to a judge in Nevada, in Washoe County, Nevada, to say, you can't do this. You know, it doesn't matter what the merits of the subpoena, what those merits are, that it is a situation of you cannot force somebody in Nevada to move themselves. They're not, she's not going to be extradited, but to move herself to Idaho for this preliminary hearing.
So, isn't she going to have to testify in the real trial?
She may. I mean, you would expect that she would and that she would cooperate and whatnot. But they're saying at this point that her testimony is not critical, that she doesn't have anything to say anyway. So they want the Nevada judge, not on the merits of whatever they're arguing in Idaho, they want the Nevada judge to say no, that they can't do it.
Seeing what he looks like now, because it was dark and he was wearing a mask, she doesn't have any definitive ID to put on that figure.
No, I mean, we don't think, based on what we know, except that it was a male who was about his build with bushy eyebrows that he does have, with a mask on, so she couldn't see a lot of the face. It was dark. We have to assume, and this may be what they want to bring into question, that alcohol was probably involved that night, other things potentially after a night of partying, and maybe they want to bring up, you know, hey, questionable her description, that maybe it's not this guy, or, you know, as has been talked about, of that it is a party house, and a lot is coming into the house. Now, it would be DNA, that his DNA could be in there for any number of reasons. We don't know.
On the knife sheath.
On the knife.
Yeah.
The other surviving roommate
as well.
I think there'd be one reason.
The other surviving roommate, Dylan Mortensen, though, they're not bringing up any issues with her.
No, they haven't indicated that they want to talk to her. She doesn't seem to have had a lot of info to give police. That this was the roommate that had that description of the guy walking down the hallway. And at least his attorneys are claiming that she knows more and that she could go beyond that and help them out. But her side doesn't seem willing and wanting to do that at all.
So was Bethany the one that went back in her room and just locked the door?
Yeah, went back. Well, they both eventually did that. Remember, there was an 8-hour time period where we still don't know what went on from when they knew something was going on to calling friends over and then with friends calling police at around noon. This was around 4 in the morning when it went down, and then at around noon. But police have said they were not involved at all. They were apparently scared, went back to their rooms, locked themselves in. Again, they had been out partying all night. We don't know what their state of mind was. Did they go to sleep? Were they sitting there in terror for 8 hours before they called over friends to say something went down, get over here, and then called police? All of that not clear in the affidavit. It's all covered under the gag order, so we don't know it. At trial, you would expect that to come out. What did the friends do? What were they doing during those 8 hours? Were they asleep the whole time? We don't know.
No, I mean, 8 hours sleeping. I mean, after witnessing
college
that.
College students who got home at 3 a.m.
You just had a quadruple murder happen next door.
Well, did they comprehend what was going on in that moment? What was the state of mind?
If it's a party house, they may have thought it was just a guy that came over to sleep with one of the other women.
And, that must have been a lot of drinking going on.
But I thought, you know, it was a part that always never made sense to me, that supposedly there was a lot of blood and when they got up.
Yeah, a lot of blood, according to investigators.
They didn't notice blood all over the place or anything.
Yeah, but were they able to see it at nighttime and then... Or did they think, well, nothing had gone on, and they went to bed, and then they woke up and saw that, and that's when they freaked out and called the friends? That's not clear.
All right. Thank you very much, Alex. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, about the continued weird developments in the Idaho college student murders, and we've talked about this before. I really have no doubt that Koberger is the killer. I don't, but I just, some of the behaviors, as we were just talking about, and again, they're college students who may have had quite the night of partying, drinking, and we're in a haze, right? We're in a fog. And, you know, you see a strange guy walking in the hallway at like 4 a.m. You may not think anything of it, even though it was creepy. But then, you know, you lock yourself in your room and it's hours later. Like, I think it was 11 a.m. or noon before somebody called. police to take a look at what happened and
but
and
they,
if there's blood.
You know, this? These Koberger attorneys, they're Satan's spawn, trying to say that this girl has some evidence that would exonerate Koberger.
I know. Everyone's really good. That got me to click.
Yeah, I know. DNA. That's it. End of case.
Well,
it's like the OJ case. DNA.
Maybe she had a relationship with Koberger and she's in on this.
Huh? Oh, sure. We could all do a creative writing essay, right?
She was the mastermind, right? And... All right, we got more coming up. After 3 o'clock, please be listening for this because we promised you an update on this, and we can probably get a lot more from John Kupal with the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. This idea that in the future, your electricity bill may be more based on your income than your usage. This is a stunner.
This is
taking us down the socialist communist road like never before.
This is straight out of Moscow.
Right, what you can afford to pay, not how much electricity you use. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after the news at 3 o'clock, John Kupal from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association will explain what's going on with this proposal that your electricity bill will largely be based on not how much you use, but how much income you make. It's really bizarre. There's this fixed fee they have on the bill, which are going to target to people's income levels.
Basically, they're taxing wealthy people to pay poor people's electricity bills.
Yep.
This is a backdoor tax that would never pass in the legislature. They wouldn't risk trying this in the legislature.
And what they did in Sacramento was one of these stupid budget trailer bills that opened the door for this. He can explain that, and he usually does a good job explaining it in simple ways that we can all understand because they have these horrible maneuvers they pull in Sacramento with these trailer bills. But his point will be no one paid any attention to this, and now it's rearing its ugly head in this proposal to your electricity bill will be broken up into a fixed fee, which will be based on how much money you make, and then another part, which is based on your consumption. So we'll talk to John about this. There'll be another John on the show. Well, it's John Kobelt, but John Hatami is coming on the show next hour, too. The deputy district attorney for Los Angeles County will talk to us today. The mother and live-in boyfriend of Anthony Avalos got their sentence today. John was the lead prosecutor in the case. He's also running for George Gascon's job. He'll talk to us after 3:30, but these two got life in prison without parole, something that we find hard to believe is going to happen because of the way California is moving to releasing everybody from prison. Doesn't matter if you're a murderer. That's really the goal. They're just starting with the older prisoners first. But we'll talk to John Hatami also in the busy 3 o'clock hour. Well, now we present this story from the Bizarro Files. Last August, Marilyn Jones and her husband Robert set out from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. They were taking an 8-day Caribbean cruise aboard the celebrity cruise ship Equinox. They were 2 days into the trip when Robert, 79, died of a heart attack. Celebrity Cruises said, well, you got two options, Ms. Jones, Marilyn, the wife. This is according to their federal lawsuit. You can leave with your husband's body in San Juan, Puerto Rico, or you can agree to have it stored in the ship's morgue until we get back to Florida in 6 days. She opted to remain on the ship, although I can't imagine that would be a pleasant trip after your husband dies. I mean, this is really a nightmare, but the choices were probably very poor.
It was complicated to stay in Puerto Rico with his body because then she'd have to...
Have it flown back to Florida?
Yes, she'd have to... First of all, the coroner in San Juan would take possession of the body. They would do an autopsy. Then they would send it to a funeral home. She'd have to stay in Puerto Rico, and then she'd have to make arrangements on her own to get it and herself back to Florida. So it was go through all that.
Or just stay on the cruise till it's over and the ship returns to Florida.
You know, he's on ice. He's frozen downstairs. What the hell?
But, I mean...
There might be some other, you know...
Without trying to be too gross, but, you know, you show up at the dinners on the cruise ship. How's your husband doing? I mean, it's just...
He stayed back at the room.
I imagine she... Well, here's what happened. She opted to remain with the ship, putting her husband's body into the ship's morgue. Did anybody guess what happened? When the ship returned to Florida, a funeral home worker and a sheriff's deputy came aboard to retrieve the body, and they discovered that it had been moved from the morgue to a cooler on a different floor. It was, according to the lawsuit, horrifically decomposed because the temperature was not sufficient.
The body had expanded with gas, and his skin had turned green.
Oh.
The cooler was supposed to be for soda, not dead people.
Well, who did that? Was the morgue full?
Have you been on a cruise?
I have never been on a cruise. You have?
Yeah, a few of them.
What, you went and visited the morgue?
No, there's some questionable employees on these cruises.
Really?
They spend months and months at sea, and they send money back to their families. And most of them are foreigners from all over the world. Very, very poor. None of them trained in how to handle a dead body. To that, I could see to them, it's like, well, we could put them in this freezer, or we could put them in the cooler here. And
all cruise ships are required to have, or most, a morgue on board, because deaths are not uncommon, particularly the elderly love cruises. So you got to be prepared for this possibility. There's no explanation here yet, because this is just a new lawsuit from Celebrity Cruises, why somebody would move the body from the ship's morgue to the ship's cooler.
I'm just thinking it's dumb cluck employees.
How dumb do you have to be with a dead body not to keep it in a cold place?
Well, I guess they thought
he'll be okay where the sodas go.
The cooler was cold enough.
Yeah, I know, but did they need the space in the morgue that they had to move them?
I don't know.
Was there something they had they thought was more important?
Maybe there was a frozen ice cream shipment that came in, and they were out of room.
It says, the lawyer says they have an obligation to maintain the morgue. Or maybe something was wrong with the ship's morgue, that it wasn't working. Yeah, it says if they did not have a working morgue, she would have chosen to take her husband's body off the ship to Puerto Rico.
But
they probably just assured her, sure.
It's mid-double-digit IQs here.
But what about the supervisors?
Yeah.
If they knew there wasn't a working morgue, it doesn't matter how dumb the subordinates are, should have told her, well, we don't really have a morgue right now that could properly keep your husband's body.
No, I just think a couple of dumb clucks moved him because they didn't think there's a difference between the beverage cooler and the morgue. That's all. Boy, I tell you, once you die, things go bad quickly, huh? Imagine your body expands with gas. That's why they drain all the blood out of you and inject formaldehyde for the viewing, for the show.
The funeral home employee saw drinks placed outside of the icebox turned mortuary. So they didn't have room for the drinks anymore, so they put them in the hallway or something because they had his body in there. I imagine this was a small space. I don't know.
I just wonder if they put something in the morgue freezer. They decided the body had to be reassigned.
Yeah, and they really talked her into doing this, too, because they said if you remove the body in Puerto Rico, there's no guarantee that it'll end up in Florida. There's only like a 50-50 chance. So they were kind of aggressive with her and trying to point her towards taking the ship's morgue.
Nearly all the ships that work primarily out in the United States, they're registered to oddball countries.
Malta, apparently.
Malta, which is an island nation in the Mediterranean.
Is that because there's no rules?
Yes, because there's no rules. And what they, I read a story on this a few years ago. There's a lot of really horny ship employees who haven't been with their girlfriends and wives in a long time because they go away for months. I've talked to a few of these guys, and you know they're for many months. And they send money back to the family. They haven't seen the family in a while. And then they see somebody attractive, one of the passengers, and, bad things happen.
Right.
But you can't, there's no jurisdiction to charge them with any crimes. I mean, some of these guys end up raping the passengers, and then you go to the cruise ship management, and they look at you and shrug. And you can go to local police at a dock, and they shrug, because that happened out in sea. There's no laws out there.
Oh, this is totally unrelated to that, but while we have a moment, because we talked about this yesterday at this time, remember the story in Texas where the cow's tongues were removed?
Yes.
And their anuses, and they were trying to figure out what happened? I mentioned cow tipping. Apparently, that's an urban legend. So
really?
Yeah, yeah. A few people sent me links.
I thought fraternity guys do that. For real, out in the Midwest.
Many believe it's not even physically possible. You can't really do it. So one listener chastised us for believing it. And I guess you could call it like a rural legend. You guys should know better. I never did it. I just said I heard about it when I was in Pennsylvania.
Like we committed a crime. Yeah. Why, you spread cow tipping.
They use the term, you should be smarter than this. Yeah.
No, I think cows have been tipped.
I don't know. Apparently there's no real evidence of it.
There was a Moistline call about it too yesterday.
Yeah, saying the same thing. Probably the same person.
This is what works people up. All the other stuff we do doesn't get any response. This is what.
When people agree with you, they tend not to contact you because they're just, you know. But when they disagree, that's when they tend to want to let you know. All right, coming up next, John Kupal, Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, will explain better what's really going on with the possibility that your electricity bill could largely, or at least half, be based on how much money you make. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark is off. Mark Reiner live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime, on demand, on the iHeartRadio app.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at NerdWallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.